Hello and welcome to the latest podcast from filmphotoacademy.com. My name's Simon Walden. In today's podcast, I'm going to give you 15 ideas for photo studies and projects you can carry out. Just something to give you a bit of a creative lift. How about taking pictures of your house? I'll tell you why this came to me was a friend of mine actually shot a friend of theirs' house. And it was really quite interesting. You know, when you look around your own dwelling with a view to what makes a good photograph, what's interesting, you see your own place in a completely different way. I've tried this, and actually I found it quite hard. So I went around a friend's house and shot their place and found that really easy. So that's tips one and two. Shoot your own house and shoot a friend's house. Or maybe get a friend to come and shoot your house, see your house through their eyes. And it's a nice little record of, you know, how you were living and where you were living at the time. Here's another one for you. Again, I'm stealing this mercilessly from friends and other photographers just as much as my own ideas. Park benches. This guy, Jeff Hodgson, very good photographer. He went out and he looked at, he photographed park benches themselves. Because the locations around a park bench are sometimes really curious. And he would take a photo of the view from the park bench. And what he found doing this is, park benches are some really odd places. You get both very luscious views, and also some extremely weird views from park benches. And it's a great way of kind of looking at the world in a different way. How about photographing your family? I know we all photograph the family. Blah, blah, blah. Well, actually, I'm not sure that I do. I mean, that's one of the troubles with being a full-time photographer is you kind of forget. You know, you leave your work at the office and you don't photograph the family. But also, you know, photograph the family in an artistic way. Or spend a whole day photographing the family, documenting the day. Or maybe, you know, within that, looking for very naturalistic images of your family. Almost like, you know, by the time you've been photographing for the first couple of hours, they'll have forgotten what you're up to. You've got past the, oh, Dad, don't do that. They'll just be ignoring you. And you will get some terrific portraits of your family. How about tip number five, modern still life? Look at those old master studies, the fish on plates and vegetables and all those kind of weird things that they used to paint. I never worked out why I'd want a picture of those things on my wall. But anyway, how about doing modern equivalents of that with, I don't know what's the modern equivalent is. I guess it's kind of mobile phones, computer keyboards, iPods, headphones, car keys, cans of drink, you know, anything like that. Just kind of, you know, reimagine those in a new way and practice your still life skills. If you want a really long project, how about a photo a day for a year? Again, the chap Jeff Hodgson that I just mentioned and his wife Vicky Hodgson, recent winner of the RPS International, they both did this for a year. Every day they had to come up with a meaningful photograph for the day. And they'll freely admit that some days were harder than others, and some days it was a very last-minute photograph, but it honed their viewing skills, it developed their eye, as well as made them concentrate on what was going on around them. I think that it added as much to their life in general as it did to their photography. How about photographing smoke? This is tip number seven. Joystick smoke, bonfire smoke, smoke in a fireplace, cigarette smoke. Smoke's a really interesting thing, all sorts of shapes and patterns. And then once you photographed it, how could you manipulate that in Photoshop to do different things with it? Reflections, kaleidoscopes, colorizing, merging several different layers together. Ooh, all sorts of things you could do with smoke. Tip number eight, photographing frozen things. It's a bit hackneyed now. It's been around for a while. I can't remember the name of the photographer who sort of kick-started this, but it suddenly cropped up in a lot of the photography magazines. But it's still really good. Take an ice box or a Tupperware container or a baking tray, fill it half full of water, freeze it, then put an object on top of the ice, top it up with water just around it, and freeze it again. So you've frozen the object. And the classic one is you do flowers and leaves, but you could do paper, you could do, again, your mobile phone, you could do all sorts of things in there. And just the way that the ice forms and the frost forms around it gives you very interesting stuff. And then you can either photograph that directly or stick it on top of the light source or, again, maybe stick some coloured gel through it, all sorts of stuff. How about some project-based work? In one of my other podcasts, I talk about Howard Schatz and his project on redheads. I think that's such a good idea. He picked a theme and he went out and photographed people around that theme. Well, your theme might be redheads, and they're interesting. Redheads have interesting faces as well as interesting hair. They're good sort of photogenically because of their colouring. You know, that pale skin, the freckles, the red hair, that's a really nice combo. Pick any other theme that you like and shoot around it. How about for another really long project, this is number 10, the year of a tree. Photograph a tree or once a month or maybe even once a week. Show the tree developing, blossoming, growing out, greening out, and then browning off in the autumn and the leaves falling down to the bare tree again. And not only would you have an interesting study, but you'll have had an excuse to get out of the studio for a while and into some daylight. How about shooting a geographical feature? Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, again, a friend of mine, Jeff, he's currently photographing the length of a river. He's chosen a fairly small river, and he just goes out and takes his dog for a walk with his camera, and he chooses different parts of the river, and he's slowly working his way down it. But you could photograph a hill, you could photograph a high street, you could photograph a supermarket, you could photograph all sorts of things. You know, just go and choose some feature and photograph it over a period of time and try and tell its story. Project number 12, how about starscapes? You've seen the long exposures of stars and those lovely curving lights and so on. The standard trick is you point your camera to the North Star, the Pole Star, and you leave the shutter open for as long as you can. Don't leave it open till the batteries run out. I've done that. It's 8 hours worth of photography. It had been open all night. Batteries run out at seven hours and 30 minutes. Once the battery's flat, you don't get a picture stored to your camera. What a waste that was. So yeah, make sure you've got enough battery power. But not just photographing those lovely curving stars, but how about photographing stars as points? Photographing constellations. Now here's the thing. You could photograph the old star constellations and overlay new pictures, new portraits, or new creations over the top of them. Project number 13, book covers. Go and pull out your favourite selection of books and create brand new book covers for them. That's really interesting because you need to go and take a picture that sort of encompasses the plot or the feeling or the theme of the book. It also leads you to thinking compositionally in different ways. You need to leave space in your image for, say, the title of the book and the author and that kind of thing. You can play games about is it just the cover or is it going to wrap around? I've done a few book covers in my time, and they've always been very interesting projects because they make you think a little bit outside the box. You have to try a bit harder with a book cover because of all these questions and ideas. And if books ain't your thing, you're not a reader, well, how about CD covers? Go and choose your favourite 6 CDs and shoot new covers for those CDs. Interesting thing there right from the start, of course, is that's a square format image, so again you've got a different compositional view. But think also about is going to make a booklet, for example, a booklet to go inside a CD. You know, again, get your juices going thinking around that idea. If you want to do something more useful, here's final project 15. Go do some shooting for charities. Charities always need something, whether it's marketing materials or something they can sell, or just give their people a warm and cuddly feeling even. There's lots and lots of different things you can do. This year I've done a couple. For example, I did a fashion shoot for a hospice. They ran one of these hospice shops where they sell off, you know, used clothes and so on, and they did a How to Beat the Credit Crunch. a fashion, build your own fashion from clothes from the charity shop. Another project I was involved this year was for the breast cancer. They were selling black bras with lots of pink feathers on. It's an outrageous piece of lingerie. Every model that came through the building, I would shoot her in this wonderful creation. 15 different photo studies and projects. Don't like those? Go and choose your own. The whole thing about a project or a study like this is it's partly to take you out of your comfort zone, partly to give you something structured to work around, partly something to just practice your creativity and your technical skills, partly for a bit of fun, partly to create some images you've never done before. Just ways of freeing you up, making you more fluent and more capable. And I think we should all do more of them. If, on the other hand, you'd like to shoot glamour or some nude work, don't forget to check out the DVDs on the website, filmphotocanopy.com. There's loads of great projects you could follow up on in there. Don't forget to drop by the website. There's always stuff going on, new podcasts, other materials. So that's filmphotocanopy.com, and thank you for listening. A digital photography reviewer is walking down the road when he stops a big bunch of people, mostly carrying large white lenses. Impressed by the huge arsenal of equipment the guys are carrying, the reviewer goes for a closer look, and further scrutiny reveals that they all have Canon 1DSs, except for one guy with a beaten-up old Nikon. Curiosity piques the reviewer, and he approaches the guy with the Nikon, asks why he's chosen Nikon when all the other pros are using Canon. "You mean these guys," replies the guy with the Nikon. "Oh, they're all members of the local amateur photography club. They just hired me to take their picture."